Well, good afternoon, everyone, and it's been a perfect summer's day in the Isle of Man, as usual. Temperatures have hit over 25 degrees Celsius, or 77 Fahrenheit, in old money, the hottest day in nearly 2 years. I hope you've all been enjoying the sunshine. David and myself have been stuck in meetings all day, but I hope you've all had the chance to get the rays. Like me, you probably found yourself viewing life in terms of before and after COVID. A new BC and AC for our time. It is the most extraordinary period most of us have ever lived through, so it is bound to be a defining moment. Before COVID, our advice to stay safe and healthy on a day like today would be about wearing high-factor sunscreen and staying hydrated. Now, in the after-COVID period, that advice still applies, but has been eclipsed by the spectre of pandemic. We are in a very fortunate position, and we want to keep it that way. To do so, we must all act responsibly. I'll return to that theme after the latest daily numbers, for which I will hand over to the Minister for Health and Social Care, Minister Ashford.
Thank you very much, Chief Minister. The total number of tests undertaken now stands at 6,209. We were awaiting 13 results back, meaning the total number of tests completed now stands at 6,196. There have been no new cases identified, so our case total remains at 336.
Okay, well, thank you very much, David. Today's news is positive, but it is government's responsibility to maintain vigilance. It's our job, while fostering freedom, to keep the health of the public in clear focus. To keep a weather eye on the bigger picture, to scan the horizon for potential threats, to listen to that nagging voice in the back of the head which says, this might not be over. Stay Responsible sets out how we ensure that together we move forward on our journey to the new normal. Normal these days is not what it was BC before COVID. We're navigating on chartered territory, making decisions stage by stage based on the prevailing conditions. Our objectives for the island to recover from the pandemic and on clinical advice. We cannot do any more than that. We don't have a crystal ball. There will always be pros and cons to consider as we look at the steps which lie ahead. Straightforward either-or decisions are easy, but things aren't always so binary. There will be many grey areas to come when doing the right thing may be our aim, but agreeing on what are the right things won't be easy. But while the horizon may be hazy, our focus remains unclouded to make clear decisions in the best interests of our island. This week we launched our long-term strategy for the new Manx normal. We stepped out of your lives, so its title, Stay Responsible, puts the onus on each of us to do the right thing. But what does it mean? It means continuing to practice regular hand washing and to ensure high standards of hygiene at home and at work. It means respecting the decision of those who still prefer to stay mainly at home and avoid crowds. It means we pay special attention to the needs of those who are vulnerable and take measures to protect them. As each day passes without a new case, it is natural that we feel a greater sense of freedom and more confident that, as a community, we have defeated the virus. It is natural that we feel proud that we have pushed it back from our shores through our collective efforts. Our prize has been an end to restrictions on personal freedom, no more social distancing, and our society coming back together. We can meet our friends, go out and socialise, gather in a crowd and enjoy leisure activities again. The Manx bubble is a really nice place to be. We promise to review the borders policy every 2 weeks from the 25th of June. Today the Council of Ministers did just that. We have agreed a 5-stage framework for the transition from closed borders, level 5, where we are now, through to borders open and unrestricted travel, level 1. This framework sets out how we will move in a safe and controlled way from one end to the other, step by step. We monitor the situation here and in the UK on a rolling basis. we are carefully considering how and when increased movement through the border may be allowed. Today, the Council of Ministers looked closely at Level 4 and asked, are we ready to move to it? First, let me explain what it means. Level 4 will allow non-essential travel for Isle of Man residents and essential workers. There will be no limit on numbers, as there is currently, and travel will be by air or sea. Level 4 will involve a compulsory 14-day isolation period on return and a declaration by the person travelling that they are in good health. Self-isolation and contact tracing in Level 4 will remain the main defence against transmission of the virus in the community if it returns to our shores. When we reach Level 4, residents can visit the United Kingdom and beyond as long as they are prepared to self-isolate on return. And I should stress, Level 4 will not allow for non-residents to visit us. But it recognises that many of our people are willing to make the sacrifice of quarantine if they can travel to see their loved ones. We don't want to stand in their way any longer than necessary. We have decided what, but we are not yet quite ready to press go. We need to follow the transmission of coronavirus or COVID-19 in the UK for a little longer and be sure that the reducing levels of infection have become a firm trend. The Council of Ministers will consider all this again next Thursday, and I hope to be able to bring you more news. The coronavirus pandemic has brought unprecedented challenges. It has required an unprecedented response and produced unusual, unique, bespoke solutions. Today, I am delighted to announce that the Isle of Man and Guernsey are to form an air bridge, a corridor allowing travel between our islands for our citizens. Neither island has had any active cases for some time now. We believe this bridge is a reasonable and sustainable position. This idea has been battered about in public for over a week now. There have been a lot of discussions and agreements, and we have looked at it from all angles and concluded that there are many potential benefits and few risks. A bit of an offshore island no-brainer. It is both a reciprocal agreement and a commercial opportunity for our two islands. It will allow residents with itchy feet to get off their respective islands and visit another. Our residents can enjoy the attractions of Guernsey and sample different shops, restaurants and beaches. It will give businesses in both islands a welcome boost. We look forward to welcoming Guernsey residents to visit our glens and hills, our cycling trails, our spectacular coastal walks and our unique heritage sites. There might be interest among sporting clubs looking for fresh competition to visit each other. And more hugs are on the horizon for those with family and friends in Guernsey. This will be a fully commercial operation operated by the Guernsey-owned airline, Orany, with two flights a week envisaged to start with. The plan is to start in mid-July, although the date on the first flight has yet to be finalised. Travel agencies at both ends will work together on the marketing and booking process, and I'm sure we'll explore options for accommodation packages to build around the flights. It is an exciting and, that overused word again, unprecedented opportunity. Guernsey and the Isle of Man are in a fairly exclusive club. Islands that have pursued similar policies, such as closing the borders, to arrive at the enviable position we are both in today. Our involvement as governments has been only in approving and facilitating the project. I hope it is welcomed that people who may have developed cabin fever during the lockdown can go and stretch their legs on further shores. It is an alliance born entirely of the pandemic. It has required imagination, optimism and a can-do attitude to get off the ground. And we wish the initiative all the best. Now, there will be more details in the coming days and weeks, but now to questions. And first we have Chris Cave from Energy FM. Chris, Pastor Mai, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chief Minister. I'd like to pick up with something that was mentioned in Monday's press briefing, if I may. Unfortunately, I wasn't part of the press team there. Could we please get more information on these people who were granted permission to come over to the island from Jersey and go out in public without having to complete 14 days of self-isolation?
Right, well, key workers are given rights to come over to the island if they can show that they are key workers, but they still have to comply with quarantine rules. So whilst they don't have to isolate for 14 days, they still have to go to a hotel, stay there until they go to their place of work, and then come back. And they have to come up with a plan which is approved by the repatriation team to ensure that it is safe for them to visit the island, and then they leave. Obviously, we've had reports that they didn't follow the plan which had been agreed, and it's been referred to our police force to investigate. So I can't really comment any further on this because it is being looked at by our police. But I don't know, David, if you want to expand on that.
Just to say around the process, as the Chief Minister's rightly said, it's absolutely important that we actually examine what we mean by when we say an exemption from self-isolation. That doesn't mean people can go out to restaurants. That doesn't mean people can go out to pubs. It's literally an exemption for key workers to be able to go to their place of work. There's health measures put in place for them at their place of work, so they may not do the tasks they would normally do. It's done on a risk assess basis. But outside of their place of work, they do have to continue to self-isolate. So if they were coming in for the day, they would travel from the port of entry to their place of work, and then after leaving their place of work, they would go right back to the port of exit. For those staying overnight, they would actually stay in a hotel in their hotel room. They would go direct from their room to their place of work, and then they're expected to go from their place of work directly back to their hotel room.
And how many others have been allowed in with without having to self-isolate?
Well, that's not without having to self-isolate isn't a proper phrase, Chris. It's giving an impression that people can just fly over or get the boat over and then freely wander around the island without having to isolate. What the health minister has just said is that they come over here and have to follow strict rules on where they can go, and they must isolate when they're no longer at work, and they must put forward a plan on how they will safely carry out the job that they've been brought over to do when they're on the island, without putting people at risk. And then they go home, and they go back to their hotel if they're staying overnight, to quarantine there. So it's not just rack up to the Isle of Man and wander around freely. I think we need to get that over clearly. They still have to follow a set guidelines that they have agreed to do so with the government. And I think the overall number will be it's over 100, isn't it?
In 155, Chief Minister.
Yeah. Your next question,
okay, thank
Chris.
You. The reason I was asking was obviously this latest party from Jersey, they broke the rules. That was brought to your attention, but we don't know how many others may have been breaching the rules. But thank you for clarification on that. This travel link between Guernsey and ourselves, which you've announced today, how much will that be in jeopardy should there be a case either here on the Isle of Man or in Guernsey itself? And who has the final say as to if this travel link is pulled?
Well, obviously, we hope that won't happen, but we have to plan for that. And obviously, we will be taking advice from our public health, and it will depend on the severity of the situation. So, for example, if someone comes back to the Isle of Man on the repatriation, and when they're under isolation, quarantine, they develop COVID-19, then obviously, if that hasn't spread anywhere, then they're not putting anyone at risk, and therefore that shouldn't impact on the travel between the two islands. But obviously, if it's a more serious outbreak in one or the other jurisdiction, then our public health medics will advise the Council of Ministers on what needs to be done. So as everything that we've been doing with COVID-19, it's a learning curve. We're trying to make the right decisions for our people, trying to give the people a bit of a break, a bit of a holiday, where they don't need to quarantine. They can go away to Guernsey without having to quarantine, and the people from Guernsey can come over here, because Guernsey have had slightly longer than ourselves with no cases. So we feel it's safe to go there. But we will review it at all the time. We're trying to get it right for the people of our island. And who knows if Guernsey, if that air corridor works, and then who knows, say, in a month's time or so, the island, for example, has seen no cases, then it's something, once we've gone through the experience of working with Guernsey for these corridors, then we can maybe expand it to another jurisdiction.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Chris. And now I move on to Simon Richardson from Business 365. Good afternoon, Simon. Faster Mai.
Good afternoon, Chief Minister. And firstly, my apologies for the line, which I believe the delay is worse than usual today. In respect of the borders, you've outlined five steps. Given that the UK, it seems, may always have the virus, do you think we'll ever reach level one? And if the UK improves dramatically, on the other hand, is it possible for you to jump more than one level at a time?
Well, I suppose I never say never. We did jump from 2 metres when we had the social distancing, 2 metres to zero, because the data backed that up. And we were going to expect our businesses to set up that were opening for 1 metre. So you can never say never. We've got a clear guidance now on the five levels. And who knows, the UK is going in the right way. Its number of infection cases is coming down, but we have to be assured that it is a downward trend. And I sincerely hope that we can get to the day when we can fully open our borders with the rest of the world. Now, in the interim period, we've got these different levels to help business, to help our people go and see their loved ones and go on trips if that's what they want to do. But our biggest defence for the time being is the 14 days quarantine, self-isolation when you come home. And if people respect that, then we will be okay. We may see cases recorded on the Isle of Man with people sadly catching the COVID-19 when they're away. But if everyone respects, and that's why we're in this stay responsible mode, if everyone is responsible, respects the 14-day quarantine, then we will be okay. But we can't be complacent. We're looking at this all the time. We are trying to give people freedom. And I know if I had a child or grandchild in the UK, I would be desperate to visit them, especially if they were new and I hadn't seen them before. So I understand people wanting that, but we need to ensure that it's safe for the population to allow this. So, as I say, stage four, I don't think we'll be too far away, but we're not quite ready yet to push that button. Your next question, Simon.
Thank you. My second question, it concerns a steam packet company. The company has been maintaining a crucial lifeline for freight, etc., but obviously passenger figures will be massively down. Now, add to that the loss of the TT and, of course, the Manx Grand Prix. Is it envisaged that government will need to provide financial support for the company? And secondly, is it likely that the COVID crisis may impact in the short or medium term on the company's planned investment in new vessels?
Well, I know this is something that's being discussed by the directors of the Isle of Man Steam Packer Company at the moment in time, Simon. I think it's always been government's aim to let the steam packet run itself. There's a management board in there. They will make these decisions. Yes, I'm sure they've lost probably a significant amount of money as a result of the restrictions on the movement of people. And hopefully when we move to stage four, we will see an increase in the number of foot passengers. The fact that we have opened all our businesses on the island means, and our construction industry is getting back to normal now, that will see increased freight coming onto the island. And I sincerely hope that in the not too distant future, we can open up for our residents to go backwards and forwards to the island. So yes, they will have made a loss. Yes, I'm sure they will think long and hard about their investment into new ships, etc. But if there's one thing I've learned in business is sometimes when things are in the situation where we are, where businesses are flat and you're wanting to buy something or build something, you can sometimes get a very good deal from ordering in, I'm not saying in times of recession, but you know, now when the world is struggling with a potential global depression, now might be the time to place an order for something because you might get a really good deal. So that's for them to decide. You know, I've always said that the Alemán government bought the company to secure our strategic links. It is not for politicians, and I keep on stressing that, it is not for politicians to step in and run the business. We've put professional people in place to do that, and we must respect their judgment. Thank you, Simon. I think that was your two questions, was it? So we'll now move on to Josh Stokes from ITV. Good afternoon, Josh.
Good afternoon, Chief Minister. With the arrival of people from Guernsey, can you confirm if arrivals will or will not be tested at the border in some way? And can you offer some detail on how these people will be contact traced if needed?
Right, well, with the arrival of the borders, I don't envisage any testing of these people at this moment in time. For the simple reason that I've said time and time again, that if I go away to the UK, come back and I'm tested and I've spent quarter of an hour on a tube with someone with COVID-19 and I've got it, I won't be showing any symptoms potentially for the first 10 days. So if you come over for a week's holiday or a fortnight's holiday, it's only going to be when you're about to go back to Guernsey or from the Isle of Man, because it's just as big a chance of us doing it to them, that you would be displaying any signs. So, yes, obviously where they stay, etc., will be fully recorded and where, you know, who they are, etc., so that we can contact them and then contact the facility they were with and who was on the plane with them going backwards and forwards. So that's how we can do it. Testing them, as I say, would be... At this moment in time, we feel it would be pointless because it will show that they are negative. But obviously, we can fine-tune this. Our two public health departments have been speaking to one another on how they can address and reduce the risks as much as possible. I don't know, David, representing that area, if you want to add anything.
Yes, thank you, Chief Minister. It's just to say, really, Josh, that what we're talking about is we're talking about two jurisdictions that have had no cases identified for over 28 days, two life cycles of the incubation period of the virus. So the actual risk from having an air bridge between the two is exceptionally low. As the Chief Minister has said, if the situation changes in either island, then obviously we'll review that. But testing at the border in those circumstances would not add anything whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, we're fortunate that a fellow Crown dependency is in the same position as ourselves, and we can offer this experience to the people of the Isle of Man and vice versa. And if it helps a little bit of our tourism and it enables some of our football clubs, rugby, etc., to go away or they come over to the Isle of Man to have a game, then that's going to be good at increasing good links with the good people of Guernsey. And obviously Sark, I think there are four islands in Guernsey. Sark is one, and I'm not going to try and remember the other two. But yeah, there's some good opportunities here and as safe as we could possibly be.
Okay, thank you. And my second question, in regards to stage four of borders reopening, can you just explain what the difference is between non-residents visiting the island and self-isolating for 14 days and residents returning to the island and self-isolating for 14 days? Why was it felt that a distinction needed to be made between those two?
Well, obviously, people leaving the island are going away without COVID-19. They're then going across maybe to see family and loved ones. When they come back, they have a facility to self-isolate when they come back to the Isle of Man, their home. And then obviously we can do spot checks, phone calls, etc., to see that they're complying with that. Whereas it's much harder if people are coming from another jurisdiction onto the Isle of Man. We don't know. They haven't come from a clear, unlike Guernsey, if you park Guernsey, they haven't come from a jurisdiction that has no cases. So they could be coming to our island and it would be hard to know. I suppose it's a bigger risk, and the stages are all about risk, Josh. Not allowing anyone other than repatriation and compassionate is our level five at this moment in time. Allowing Manx residents to freely travel away but quarantine on the island is the next step, where you've got increased risk but the risk isn't maybe as great as allowing people from the UK to come over. And the next step, I think step three, is all about sponsoring maybe family members to come to the island where they stay with you. But it's all about looking at the number of cases and the jurisdiction where people are coming from and ensuring that we can allow greater movement, but in a safe way. We, you know, at the first, my first responsibility is to the public health of the people of the Isle of Man. And then obviously we've got to look at getting our economy going and to ensure that we can provide the facilities that we all want as a result of a healthy economy. So it's all about taking steps with as much information as possible so that we can do this without putting the health of the nation at risk.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much, Josh. And last but not least, Tim Glover from Manx Radio.
It's
Alex Wharton. Sorry, my documentation here is out of date.
All right.
But yes, you look a little bit different from Tim.
I was just wanted to ask about testing. So it may be one for the health minister. But currently we have an island testing centre with a capacity of 200 a day, which is, of course, running massively under capacity, around 20 to 30 tests seemingly waiting each day. Would you consider widening the current test for key workers and teachers and those sort of people to perhaps businesses that are now open and publicly facing, and likewise with antibody testing?
In terms of the PCR testing first, so the antigen testing, which is the swab test, we are looking at ways of expanding that out. But at the moment, how useful that would be when we have low to zero community transmission anyway, because we're not identifying any cases and we're past the 28 days, is open for debate. That's one of the reasons why it has dropped off. Just to clarify, though, the number of tests being undertaken, because it's taken in the hospital as well, is around about 76 tests a day we're averaging at the moment. So we're just under half capacity. So we potentially could look at opening it up, and it is something we have discussed. But equally, as we've found with key workers, people are turning up to have it once, but then don't want to go back and have it again because it is a very intrusive test, as I'm sure the Chief Minister can attest to personally. So what you tend to find is once people have had it once, they don't want to have that regular form of testing in place. And like I say, again, PCR testing and antigen testing is great when you're in the middle of an outbreak to try and control it. But when you've actually got it doesn't really add anything. And also there's obviously resource involved from DHSC to undertake this testing at the same time as we're trying to redeploy people back so we can get our health service up and running. So it's a balancing act there. In terms of the antibody testing, the answer to that is no. The only useful thing for an antibody test is as a population study. It's not useful in relation to people just individually wanting to know if they've had it. In fact, there's a letter to the British Medical Journal signed by 14 academics criticising today the UK's position on antibody testing and the way that people can just request it, because antibody testing does not mean you have immunity to COVID-19. That does not infer immunity, so it doesn't give that person that sort of satisfaction. So the only use for antibody testing is population study, and that's what we're undertaking with our randomised samples.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
My second question is on repatriation, just on how many people to date have been repatriated, currently waiting to return to the island.
I don't know how many are currently waiting. There are people booked in because some of them don't want to come back yet. It doesn't suit their personal circumstances. So I think we're about 1,500 people have been repatriated. But I think that includes, if memory serves me correct, the patient transfer as well. So it's a fairly significant number. And so far, so good. We've only had two cases of COVID-19 from our repatriation service. And because we have asked everyone to isolate, that hasn't gone on to infect anybody else and spread it around the island. So it's worked well. And with all the data we've got, we do feel that in the near future, we will be able to move to level four. But we just need a little bit more looking at data elsewhere to ensure that it's safe to do.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you all very much for your questions. I look forward to seeing and reading and hearing how today's news goes down. I know there will be different views amongst the Great Manx public. Some will welcome it with open arms. Others may feel it is not for them. We have asked everyone to stay responsible, to do the right thing for yourself and your family. Remember that we all have different circumstances, live our lives in our own way, and have our own valid views on what is right. Please respect one another and don't forget the sun cream. Thank you, everyone. Have a good afternoon. Bye-bye.